What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we've been talking about instruction and parenting and seeing how your instruction is an integral part of what God's called you to do in parenting. This is the second part. So if you haven't listened to the former episode, go back to last week, listen to that one first, and that's going to set the stage for today. Because last week, I introduced the idea of God-centered and gospel-centered conversations. A buddy of mine, his name is Tim Bryant. He is the executive director of Low Country Biblical Counseling Center in Charleston. He has a parenting series called Parenting by Faith. And one of the principles that he teaches on is God-centered and gospel-centered conversations. The idea is that you want your communication with your child to wrap the gospel in as many things as you can. So you're trying to introduce God, principles from Scripture, the message of the gospel into your instruction with kids. So we are balancing that. Some of us in this world, we think that you're not worshiping the Lord properly if you're not talking about the Bible in some way. So your child wants to talk about a game that they learned, and then you say, well, tell me about the atonement, Timmy. You compromiser of your faith. Okay, you remember the Colossians 4:6. You season your speech as with salt. You have a conversational skill, and that still applies to your kids. So even though your kids may want to talk about Fortnite, you're thinking, how can I incorporate God-centered conversations while they want to talk about their own interests? So that's the general principle. Last week, informally doing that. Remember the questions? What do you think God would want you to do? And what does the Bible say you should do? You develop your own type of question like that. What do you think God would want you to do? This is focused on obedience and action. I don't just ask my sons, how do they feel about that, without following up with what would God want you to do about that? And I encourage you to find a rhythm like that. So this is real world. Last night around the dinner table, my middle son said that at school, he was asked to line up in a specific way by some of his peers at recess. So typically you'll do 1, 2, 1, 2. The ones go this way, the twos go this way. And one of his peers at school said, hey, so-and-so, can you stand right here next to me? And he thought, sure, yeah, why not? But his buddy, I don't know if you could use the term buddy, his peer wanted him to stand there so he would go to the opposite team and not be on the same team. And once my son saw what happened, it really was hurtful for him. He said he had a bad day because of that. And at dinner, we talked about it. And I tried to do what we were talking about last episode, which is to say, hey, son, what's God doing in this? What would God want you to do? And he actually was able to articulate a somewhat spiritual answer. And I was like, no, punch that kid. No, sorry. Wait, hang on. Snap out of it, Craig. No, I was like, yeah, you know what? That's right. We're not going to repay evil for evil. So when you go to the other team, do your best. And if you're ever on his team, then you're not going to hold a grudge against him. That's the informal conversation. We didn't plan that. That wasn't a strategic part of my day. My calendar did not say at 6:45 on Tuesday, make sure you have this conversation with your family. Now, that was the informal stuff. Remember, your informal is going to be the majority of your instruction. So as a parent, you're intentional to introduce principles of the Scripture, the gospel, God-centered conversations in your everyday life, when you're walking, when you're lying down, when you rise up. Now, I want to add to that formal instruction. Formal instruction that you have a plan for how you're helping disciple your kids. And today I want to focus primarily on family discipleship. So think of family discipleship as you are intentionally finding a time in your schedule to read the Bible together with your kids, and if you're married, with your spouse, and that is going to be your family discipleship. I've heard other people call it family worship. That's formal instruction. Where does that come from in the scripture? Ephesians chapter 6, last part of verse 4, bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This idea of instruction is counsel about avoidance or cessation of an improper course of conduct. You are discipling them in how to honor the Lord in their life. It can be translated as admonition as well. The discipline and the admonition of the Lord, some of your translations will say, because it is a warning and a setting straight. Instruction is a little bit more helpful because admonition often carries with it negative connotations in our modern English. So we think, well, you did something wrong, so you're being admonished for it instead of encouraged. So practically speaking, instruction, what are you instructing them in? You're instructing them in the ways of the Lord, how to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, the avoidance or cessation of actions that are dishonoring to the Lord. That's what you're balancing here. So this is instruction. This is formal instruction. That term is used in different places within the scripture. If you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the first 10 or so verses are about what Israel faced while in the wilderness. And then Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10:11, now these things happened to them, speaking of the children of Israel, as an example, but they were written down for our instruction. Same term. On whom the end of the ages has come. We can learn from what the children of Israel faced in the wilderness. That is the point. So our ability to learn from Israel's experience. Or Titus 3:10, as for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He's self-condemned. When a divisive person continues to be divisive, warn them, that is instruction, that is remind them about the avoidance or cessation of an improper course of conduct. That is what we are talking about. That's instruction. So when I say instruction, I want you to think there are formal times in your parenting where you plan on teaching your kids biblical principles. That is family discipleship. Now, Dad, some of you are, you're all in on this concept. You're all in on it, and you're all in on mom doing that as part of the homeschool curriculum that you guys have. Lame. We're not going to do that as men. And why are we not going to do that? Well, go back to the scripture if you're still in Ephesians 6. Who is Ephesians 6:4 addressed to? Moms, do not provoke your children to anger. But no, that's not what the text says, actually. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Interesting. Both Ephesians and Colossians, okay, sister books, both part of the prison epistles, Ephesians and Colossians are going to address dads, fathers. Colossians 3:21, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Ephesians 6:4, dads, fathers, you're the one to take initiative in instruction. So if you're listening to this and you're a young man without kids, put this in your back pocket that you know God has called you towards spiritual leadership. And that first will take place with your wife, which will be Ephesians 5, 25 and 26, that you're leading her by washing her with the water of the word, being a spiritual influence in her life. And that will also be true of your kids. You as men need to equip yourself with this understanding that I am the spiritual leader of my house. I'm the spiritual leader. My wife may be more conversant with scripture, totally fair. Some of our wives went to Bible college. They went to advanced education, seminary, totally fair. We're not talking about biblical competency. We're talking about the role of a dad. If you don't have kids, if you do have kids, if you have kids that are young, men, arm yourself with this way of thinking that I am the spiritual leader. I'm intended to be the spiritual leader of this home. I'm designated as such based off of my role as husband and dad. So what do? I have a responsibility to biblically instruct my kids. In fact, if an elder is not managing their own home, they're not a godly presence, they're not actively part of their home, then they are not fit to be our spiritual leader. Titus 1, 1 Timothy 3. Why is that? Because our elders are intended to be exemplars for us. Individuals that we can look to as imitable. We can imitate their faith, follow them as they follow Christ. And if they're not being godly dads, instructors of their kids, then we need to think to ourselves, I'm not sure you're the best person for me to imitate. So dads, this is your responsibility first and foremost. So let me give a caveat to moms, moms who have unbelieving husbands, moms who are single, perhaps. Plan A is always that a dad would be the spiritual leader, but plan B is that at times mom has to fill that role. We're not exactly sure what was true for Timothy, but we do know that when Paul reminds him in 2 Timothy 3:15 to hold fast to the word that he was taught since he was a child, Lois and Eunice, his mom and grandma, were the ones to teach him. We know that. So there is a spiritual place for moms to be that impact, but plan A is always going to be that a dad would say, yes, I take ownership for this, and this is my responsibility, and I'm not going to make my wife or I'm not going to make my mother-in-law do this. This is something that I need to be doing. So mom, if you don't have that godly spiritual leader, it is appropriate for you to take initiative in that and to ensure that your kids are receiving biblical instruction, whether it's formal or informal. It's appropriate for you to do that, but plan A is always going to be that there's a godly dad doing that. So let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to pick up with specific and practical ways on how to do family worship. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment as he continues to talk about spiritual leadership and family discipleship, which reminds me of Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands by Paul David Tripp, available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Very practical guide for anyone who wants to be used by God in the lives of other people, especially in the lives of those people in their own family. Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands by Paul David Tripp is an outstanding resource. I encourage you to go pick it up right now. And speaking of biblical training, if you haven't heard about the Think Biblically Conference, which is coming up at the Masters University in February, it's just 2 days, February 14th and 15th, but it's going to be packed full of amazing biblical teaching. It's just like getting a TMU education condensed into 48 hours. You can find out more about this full speaker lineup and grab discounted tickets right now at masters.edu/transformed. And I don't know how much time you spend looking at the weekly cartoons at Fortis Institute on Fortis Plus. Listen, Gary Varvel's weekly cartoons at Fortis really nail what's happening in our culture from a biblical perspective. And really, it's amazing to me how a good cartoon can say more than just 1,000 words. It's worth by itself downloading Fortis Plus, which you can do for free at fortisinstitute.org. And you know how Greg is talking about how dads take on spiritual leadership today? Well, that's exactly what we're trying to do at Fortis Institute. We're standing firm in biblical truth. When so many other ministries are getting tossed to and fro by the cultural winds, we've committed ourselves to being steadfast, to being unmovable in the sufficiency and the authority of Scripture. But here's the thing, we cannot create the content that we are creating with these 8 new voices that we've brought in. We can't do that alone. We need the help and support of our gospel partners. And so if you're not already a gospel partner, we want to ask you to pray about it. And when you support us at Fortis Institute, you're not just supporting another ministry. You're joining a movement that helps families establish biblical foundations, that equips dads to lead spiritually, and that strengthens local churches. You help us create resources that point people back to the sufficiency of God's word. Think about it practically. Your partnership could help a dad start family devotions for the first time. That's what's at stake here. Would you pray about becoming a monthly gospel partner? Find out more about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We've been talking about formal instruction and family discipleship. Last segment, I challenged you as dads to say, this is my responsibility with my family. So husbands are spiritual leaders. Dads are spiritual leaders. The scripture couldn't be more clear about who's to initiate these times of formal instruction. So when you're planning your formal instruction as men, first of all, I do think it's helpful to witness it or experience it. Some of us didn't grow up in homes where our dads were faithfully discipling us. My dad is one of the first generations. So he was a first generation believer. And then my grandfather was saved after my dad was saved. So my dad did not grow up with this formal discipleship. as best as I can recall, it wasn't clearly taught through the church that I was raised in, that dads are discipling and investing into their kids spiritually. But I do remember times where not only would my dad initiate us going to church and being involved and going to youth group, things like that, but my dad would get the daily bread. You guys remember that little cheesy devotional? I'm sorry if you love it, but it is cheesy. It's this free devotional you find everywhere. And my dad would grab that, grab his Bible, and we would sit around and read a daily bread and a couple of scriptures. When I got married, it's been 19 years now. When I got married, I knew that I was supposed to be leading my wife in family devotions. I didn't know exactly how to do that, but I knew that was the status quo. And then when we had our first son, he's 14 now, born in 2010. When I had my first son, I knew that even though he was just a baby and he's not participating, that we kind of needed to get into this rhythm. So by the time I attended Master's University for my Master of Arts in Biblical Counseling, a man named Dr. Ernie Baker really solidified this in me. Ernie is a personal friend and colleague, and he emphasized how husbands are first spiritual leaders, and then fathers are spiritual leaders, and then you're emphasizing how a church comes alongside the role of a father. And that had a great impact on me. He said this, and I believe this is how he said it. He said that he would do family discipleship with his family every night. And I was always like, give me time to let it work. I don't know how he did that. But when I look at the result of that in his life, his children love the Lord. His children love him. His family is doing great. His marriage is doing great. And it was like, I don't know. It seems like he had some good priorities in all of that. So he really challenged me on that. And I started to set a personal goal, which I now counsel by, live by, which is twice a week, I want to be in family discipleship and worship with my immediate family. So that's my wife and three kids. I think that it's helpful to witness this as a man where you see someone else do this, but at times we just frankly don't have that privilege. You don't hear about it a lot. You often can think about it as like an exegetical sermon. It's like, hey, well, am I about to preach? What's going to go on here? So is that what we mean when we talk about family discipleship? So let me give you a structure here. But before I do, can I give you a couple of age tiers? And I mentioned these last episode. First age tier, 0 to 3, there's very little time of formal instruction. Okay, so just be clear. Most of that's informal, by the way. 3 to 6, 3 to 7, it's really difficult to have times of formal instruction, but it's not impossible. So if you have a pre-K kindergartner, you might do coloring activities, you might do dances, you might do some type of David and Goliath story, but it's hard to get into the catechism and the doctrines. It's hard to get into those very clearly, hermeneutics, biblical principles. But you do begin to teach them clearly, and most of the times, you'll get informal instruction whenever they're 3 to 7. But here is the moneymaker. Mark my word, 8 to 12 with boys and girls, this is prime discipling time. Your radar is up that you know your children are at very formable, impressionable ages in this 8 to 12-year-old span. You are teaching them so many things: communication, conflict resolution, understanding roles, biblical truth, how to study the Bible, the key doctrines of the scripture, the resurrection, the gospel, the lordship of Christ. You're just baking it into their worldview at that age. If you're missing out on that 8 to 12, you are wrong. If you're double working and you're overly busy, you are wrong. You guys are missing it. This is prime time. Do not miss 8 to 12. One of the clear reasons I got out of the Army is because I hate to wake up early. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. What does that have to do with anything? One of the clear reasons I got out of the Army is I knew it was not going to be sustainable for me to be gone all the time and then now have my family entering into this impressionable season. Who would be impressing upon them? I knew that the Army life, the full-time Army life, and being a present father was going to be very challenging. So I said, no, I'm good. I'm out. I'll do something else. I want to be in ministry anyways. Seriously, that was one of the key decisions for why I got out of active duty service. 8 to 12, don't miss it. So what about puberty and on, 12 and up? I do think you're going to have formal instruction, but it's more like late night conversations and moments of disappointment. By now, you've already helped form that worldview and you're calling them to live it out. So your 17-year-old is not typically going to be gathering around you for a time of formal instruction about the resurrection. But your 9-year-old is, and your 9-year-old is very open to hearing those things. So at 17, you're calling them to live out the message of the gospel with their boyfriend or girlfriend or their job or their senior year. You're thinking through it in that lens. So do have some wherewithal to differentiate between the seasons of life that your kids are in. So now structure time. Are you ready for it? I want you to make it your aim for twice a week, at least twice a week, that you are going to have family discipleship. For me, that's Saturday night and Tuesday night. For some reason, that's just when we are free in the Gifford household. So Tuesday night, that is a night where I don't typically have another church engagement, not typically a child engagement, not really the bro time to hang out. So I can generally find about 20 to 30 minutes on a Tuesday night or on a Saturday night. So when I make that goal, I find it to be attainable. If I only do once a week, it's often 20 minutes doesn't feel like enough. And if I miss it, now it's 2 weeks. So twice a week is your goal. If you make your goal 5 times a week, I do think that's great. At a certain season of life, you'll have time for that. But if you're ripping it and gripping it with 3 kids at home, it's going to be really hard to find 5 days a week to sit together and to study the word. So if you can do more, but minimum 2 nights. And what are you going to do in those moments? Seriously, if you want to use this as a prescription, this was given to me. I learned this from Ernie Baker. I learned this from other mentors, Bob Somerville in my life. Twice per week, what are we going to do? We're going to read scripture, we're going to sing, and we're going to pray. Okay, think of the reading of scripture not as an expository sermon, and Dad, you don't have to prepare something in advance to say. Rather, what you're going to do is take a passage and read it with your family and teach them how to study the Bible, Bible interpretation principles, hermeneutics, observation, interpretation, application. Find your passage. We were in 1 Samuel 28 yesterday. Find your passage and then say, what does this passage say? Kids, give me some observations about what's happening in the text. And then they're going to be able to pop off what's going on in the text and say, well, this happens here, this happens here. Great. We're teaching them Bible study methods. Now, from your observations, you can make an interpretation. What does this mean? Well, it means that such and such happened, or David was running from Saul, or Saul has now passed away, or Saul was acting from jealousy. I use those illustrations because we've been in 1 Samuel recently as a family. So ask your family to read and then make observations about the text. Don't let them use their phone for their Bible. Oh, look, hobby horse, and I'm going to ride it for 20 seconds. Hard copy Bible. Why? Because you learn how to use the Bible. You learn where books of the Bible are. You're not given the page number and the hyperlink. You're not going to know your Bible as well if you're using your phone. Hard copy Bibles. So observation, interpretation, application. Then we're going to pick one song or two that we love to sing together, and we're going to sing it. 3 minutes, 4 minutes. And after that is over with, then we're going to find a way of praying for other people. So easy idea for you. This was taught to me by some friends. When we get Christmas cards each year, everybody, I don't know why they do this, but everybody gives you a Christmas card with their own picture on it. Hey, there you are. You guys look so cute. That's so much flannel. Yes, we actually keep those like total creepers. And throughout the year, we pray for people based off the Christmas card that they gave us. So we've been doing that all year. And we have one more Christmas card left to work through from 2023, Christmas of 2023. So find some way to pray for another family in your church, in your friend group, someone else, you're praying for them. So what have you done? Scripture, sing, and pray. And when have you done this? Ooh, you like that? When have you done this? Stay in school, kids. You have done this twice a week. Your goal is that you'll have 2 20- to 30-minute times of family discipleship. Men, raise up and do this. Invest in your kids. See this as preventative. Instruct them before they find some rando YouTube channel that begins to instruct them. Spend your time with your kids in this way. So let me pray for us and we'll be done for today. Lord, strengthen our families through intentional times in the Word together. And the men that are hearing this, both single, married, and fathers, help them to feel a compulsion to lead their family in family discipleship. Not in a legalistic way, not in a deterministic way, but hoping that you will use your Word to accomplish your purposes in the lives of their kids. So give us grace for this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.